It is a manic Monday on steroids. I'm Scoot on the air. I hope you had a great weekend. The Saints' loss has led to the firing of head coach Dennis Allen. If you listen to this show, you know that I'm not surprised, and I know many of you are not surprised. The Saints have named special teams coordinator Darren Rizzi as the interim head coach. He's going to hold a press conference here any moment now. We're going to bring you to that press conference live as soon as it happens, and again, it's going to happen any moment. So we're going to bring you to the Rizzi press conference coming up. I wrote a blog about the firing of Dennis Allen, and I started talking about this intensely last year, and I just sensed that there just was something not right. And a lot of people supported Dennis Allen and the Saints, and even some sports experts supported Dennis Allen. And, I felt kind of like a loner in some ways, although I know a lot of fans agreed with me. I just felt like there was something that was not right about that. So I wrote an in-depth blog about it. It's posted on our website, WWL.com. You can also find it on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page, and that's where you can comment on it. And I'll share some of your comments later in the show. But here we are the day before the election, and there's so much to talk about, so many lies, so much misinformation. Donald Trump pretending to perform fellatio, oral sex with a microphone. Scott Jennings, the conservative Republican pundit on CNN, is questioning, well, maybe that's not what he was doing. Well, if you saw the video or if you saw him do it, it's pretty obvious that's what he was doing. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And somebody else brought up the idea that I brought up late last week. Donald Trump is doing such bizarre things that maybe he doesn't even want to win. I mean, some of the things that he says, some of the things that he's doing, it's almost like he doesn't want to win. So we're going to talk about all of this afternoon. But locally for Saints fans, the big news is the firing of Dennis Allen. I heard Bobby Hebert talk on the Point After and then his rant last night on WWL after the game. I heard Bobby talk about what a nice guy Dennis Allen is. And I'm sure he is. I don't know him, but he seems like a very nice guy. I've commented on how calm he seemed to be after every Saints loss, even after the embarrassing losses. So I'm sure he's a nice guy. But sometimes people get elevated, and I bring this up in my blog. There was a book written years ago, and I read this book, titled The Peter Principle. And it's based on a theory that most people in life, this is particularly indicative of bureaucracies, most people in life reach a level of incompetence. They do a good job at one level, they get promoted. They do a good job at that level, they get promoted. And at some point, they get promoted beyond a point where they're capable of doing the job. And Dennis Allen, even though the defense wasn't that great this year, Dennis Allen may end up being a great defensive coordinator for another team. I don't think Dennis Allen's relationship with the NFL is over. I just don't think he's a head coach. And he might even be more comfortable as a defensive coordinator somewhere, because just the head coaching position just did not seem to be for him. Unfortunately, the people who made the decision to hire him, to elevate him from within, I think they made the easy decision. The easy move was to just, we'll just elevate Dennis Allen. The problem is, especially after the loss yesterday, the fans really demanded the firing of Dennis Allen. Fan attitude toward the Saints has changed. And the Saints have had such a devoted, dedicated group of fans that it's unusual to have fans this disgruntled. But Saints fans have every right to be disgruntled because of the perception of the team on the field and the way they played. And I said Friday, I said, this is a must win, but it scares me because if the Saints have to win a game, it concerns me that they're not going to be able to win it. And they lost to a bad team, the Panthers, by 1 point. But it could have been 50. They still lost. And there was no decision the Saints could make. They've got to keep the fans happy. They've got to keep the fans in the seats. And that was the goal. And Dennis Allen was promoted as the person who's going to lead the Saints, but it just didn't work out. So we'll see what happens now. I also heard Bobby Hebert, and I've heard others say really positive things about special teams coordinator Darren Rizzi. and that he's an excited guy and knows how to get people excited. I mean, what if the Saints do really well the rest of the season? Does he deserve to be the head coach next season? Or are the Saints in a position where they really have to go outside? You know, these are questions. We don't know the answers to these questions, but these are questions. But I think the Saints made the right decision. I mean, I don't know. It was a decision I think they could have made even last year, because it just seemed obvious that Dennis Allen was not the right person to be in that position for the Saints. Chris Olave, another concussion. There are conversations going on now about the pass that Derek Carr threw, described by one person as a hospital pass, that kind of pass is going to put you in the hospital. I don't know that much about the intricacies of being quarterback, and if you can see the receiver in a situation where he's going to be totally just sandwiched, or if you can see a situation where a receiver is going to be just totally bashed, not by one but by two defenders, if you throw that pass, then maybe you don't throw the pass. Derek Carr had some good moments, but he had a lot of terrible moments, and he was really, really off. And I know some people might say, well, you know, Derek Carr, you know, he was off for a while, so he wasn't, you know. Well, think about this. He was off all last season. I mean, he was off during the offseason. All the players were off. And he came back really strong in the first two games of the season. So maybe he was still injured. I don't know, but I didn't think he was that sharp. Alvin Kamara was a killer, but I feel badly for Alvin Kamara, doing so much, reaching 1,000 yards already this season, halfway through the season, had well over 100 yards yesterday. He's killing it, but not everybody was, and even Taysom Hill dropped a pass, and the missed tackles. There was one case where, you know, the Honey Bun, formerly known as the Honey Badger, the Honey Bun tried to, you know, kind of push somebody, grab somebody, and it didn't quite work. Didn't go for the legs. And anyway, it was just a terrible performance as a team, and the Saints lost that. And the coaching decisions. What about the use of the clock or the lack of timeouts called toward the end of the first half? I mean, what was that all about? Sometimes under Dennis Allen, the Saints just seem to be confused. So maybe Dennis Allen is just not head coach material. I bring all of this up in the blog. The other problem that we have now is Derek Carr came here with like this incredibly expensive contract. This incredible contract because of Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen's now gone, and so we've got Derek Carr. I don't think Derek Carr should automatically be the starting quarterback. If there is, I don't know that there's anybody, I don't think that Haener or Rattler are better than Derek Carr right now. But I don't think Derek Carr on the roster should be a reason the Saints don't try to get a better quarterback. I don't think Derek Carr is going to take us to the playoffs. And I also bring up in my blog today that football fans, they hope that their team, and this is something that football fans deserve, they deserve to hope that their team gets to the playoffs and maybe even the Super Bowl. They deserve that. The fans make the players and the management and the owners of the NFL teams rich. And the fans deserve the hope that their team is a winning team and they've got a chance to get to the playoffs. Now, not every team gets to the playoffs, but the fans deserve that hope. That hope ended yesterday with that embarrassing loss to the Panthers. And so now there's new hope, I guess, that the Saints redirect things and head in the right direction, because the goal is to keep the fans in the stands. And I have never, you know, even back in the days when people were putting bags on their heads, I don't remember a time when the disgruntled attitude of Saints fans has been as deep as it is right now. Deep to the point of affecting whether or not fans are in the seats. And you know, yesterday I saw a lot of blue seats in Carolina. Fans not showing up. That's not a problem the Saints have had in the past. But if things aren't straightened out, that's a problem the Saints will have in the future. Because money is too precious. time is too precious for people to go to games where they don't even have the hope of getting to the playoffs. And that's the least that you can give fans. All right, I'm Scoot on the air. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. We're going to get to this break. We may interrupt the break because we are standing by for a press conference from special teams coordinator Darren Rizzi, the named interim coach for the New Orleans Saints. We're waiting to hear from him, and we'll carry that as soon as it happens. But right now for Dennis Allen, it's over. Also this afternoon, it's the day before the election. A lot of stuff happened over the weekend. We're going to talk about Trump and what he did with that microphone. We're going to talk about all of that this afternoon on WWL. I was really sad to hear that record producer Quincy Jones had passed away. He was 91 years old, so he lived a long, great life. Quincy Jones worked with Frank Sinatra and Ray Charles and literally hundreds of recording artists. He died at the age of 91, so again, lived a nice long life. Thriller was one of his big works, working with Michael Jackson and producing that album, one of the greatest albums of all time. And he's also really known for putting together the whole group of artists that did We Are the World, another big Quincy Jones production. You know, rest in peace. Quincy Jones passed away at the age of 91, and he really was a major factor in the world of music. I'm Scoot on the air. So Marco Rubio, who is one of the most spineless politicians you will find in politics. I mean, he's a total weenie. Marco Rubio is really just PO'd that Saturday Night Live allowed Vice President Kamala Harris to have a cameo appearance at the beginning of the show Saturday night, just days before the election. And Marco Rubio is proclaiming in violation of the law. And then you've got Brendan Carr, who is a Republican commissioner with the Federal Communication Commission appointed by Donald Trump. He's part of a five-person governing body of the FCC. He's complaining about this. But, you know, the whole equal time thing really sort of went out of the window when the Fairness Doctrine was dismissed. There was a Fairness Doctrine in place in America, I think, since 1949. And Ronald Reagan just, blew it apart. No longer did broadcast networks have to give equal time to anybody else. They could just be totally one-sided. This is what led the way to conservative talk radio. It led the way to Rush Limbaugh. It led the way to conservative talk in America, or liberal talk. You know, there's not that much of that, but it led the way to not being required to give equal time to somebody else. So this whole thing, this whole blow up about Kamala Harris being on Saturday Night Live is totally bogus. And you're not going to find any more spineless of a person than Marco Rubio to even bring this up in the first place. But, you know, you don't have to offer equal time. You don't. It has been this way for a very, very long time, since the Reagan administration. So we'll talk a little bit about that this afternoon. I'm sorry, Ian, who is in Alabama? All right, Cedric is in Alabama. Cedric, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
All right, okay, we're going to the press conference now with special teams coordinator Darren Rizzi. He is the new interim coach for the New Orleans Saints. Okay, he's walking up to the podium right now, and we'll hear from him here in just a moment. New Orleans Saints have a new interim head coach. It's special teams coordinator Darren Rizzi. Here he is.
Have a hand in kind of digging us out of this hole that we're in. So, like I said, this is not the this is a day that's a little bit tough. It's a situation I've been through before a couple different times, and we need to circle the wagons right now. We need everybody on board, and the only way I know how to do it is to fight and work out of it. So that's what we're going to do. So with that, I'll take some questions.
Riz, what changes do you anticipate making?
Listen, John, we're going to look at everything. Everything's going to get, as I told the team this morning, everybody and everything is going to get reevaluated, because right now the product is not acceptable. So everything down from the schedule to how we do things to the active players to the daily schedule, we're going to look at everything, how we practice, all those different things. And so really haven't made any final decisions on all that, but you know, a wise man and the Hall of Fame coach once told me, if something's got to change, and something's got to change. So we're gonna make some changes.
When you say how we practice, like practice harder, longer, different?
Yeah, I'm just talking about, we're gonna, you know, look at everything, really. So, you know, there's a bunch of different ways to do it. I think we've been doing things around here the same way for a long, long time, and maybe some are good, maybe some aren't, and you know, we can make some changes. So, but there'll be some different things that we do for sure. Yeah, I mean, not to sound like a broken record, but literally we're gonna reevaluate everything. Reevaluate everybody, everything, the staff, the coaches, the players. Because right now, when you lose seven games in a row, we're obviously not in a place where we can just stay status quo. I don't think this is gonna be Darren Rizzi taking over the steering wheel, and we're just gonna keep, you know, the ship moving forward. We got to make some changes along the way. So this is not just a change for the at the top of the head coach. We got to look and really evaluate everything that we're doing.
How much do you embrace this challenge, though? For you, it's like an audition as well.
Yeah, well, listen, I embrace everything. I think you guys know my personality pretty good by now. I'm a passionate guy. Kind of wear my heart on my sleeve. I'm a very realistic type of guy, and so I only know how to do things one way. You know, I grew up a little bit of a fighter. You know, I've really never been handed anything, and so I was a walk-on player in college. I was a free agent in the NFL. I started my coaching career in Division II. I mean, and so I've had to work for everything I've gotten, and this is no different. And I'm going to show up here every day of the week, and I'm going to work my ass off, and we're going to try to change the product on the field.
Darren, think of how tough this was for you, Riz, but how bittersweet is it? I mean, you obviously want to be a head coach, but you don't want it this way.
Yeah, this is not a day for celebration. You know, this is a day for, like I said earlier, it's a tough day. This is, I said the exact same message to the team. You know, but at the same time, there's only one way to fight through this, and that's through hard work and showing up every day. And you know, it's the reality of the situation. This is where we're at. And so I have no choice but to stand up here and be the leader that I think one of my strong suits is. I'm a leader of men. I think that and in tough situations, leaders really show their true colors. And I think the rest of the team is the same thing. Like, we're going to find out right now who's going to fight. I'm going to keep that. I'm going to keep those private conversations. I'm going to keep those private.
Have you talked to Nikki or Gail?
Yeah, yep.
We kind of really kind of ask you, like, your general football philosophies and what traits you want out of your team. Like, how would you kind of define some of those things?
Well, listen, I'm an accountability guy. You know, our motto on special teams since I took over has been 1/11th, and that's all about accountability. It's every person, you know, knowing their part, understanding their part, knowing the role, understanding the role, and going out and executing it. You know, and as I said to the team this morning, that 1/11th philosophy is going to be something that we carry, because in no other sport can one person have an error and it affects the other people on the, you know, I gave a baseball analogy, I gave a basketball analogy. You know, in baseball, you know, Aaron Judge can go 0-for-4 and strike out four times, but Gerrit Cole throws a perfect game, the Yankees are still going to win. LeBron can drop 60, J.R. Smith can go 2-for-21 like he normally did, and LeBron could, you know, they're still going to win. So, you know, my point is that can't happen in football. In football, one guy messes up on one play, it affects the other 10. And so I think that's one of the areas we can improve in. I think we can be more accountable. I'm always an accountability guy. I'm a keep it real guy, like I said. I'm going to tell you how I see it. Not a lot of secrets with me. I think that players like that. I think players respond to that. I think it's one of my strengths. Like I said, I think I'm a good leader. And so that's how we're going to kind of keep it rolling.
Aaron, was that Hall of Fame coach you talked about a little part
of? It was.
And how much is he shaped sort of?
Well, listen, when I got into the NFL, Bill Parcells was, you know, the executive vice president of the Miami Dolphins. He's the one that hired me. We're both North Jersey guys, and I grew up watching his Giants teams, and we're from the same neck of the woods, if you will, kind of same personality type guys. And that's how I kind of got to know Sean, you know, through that kind of that tree, that Tony Sperano, Sean Payton tree. And so, you know, so I had the honor and the privilege of working for Coach Parcells. And so, you know, that was his quote, you know, if something's going to change, something's got to change. So that always stuck with me.
How would you describe kind of the mood or state of the locker room right now?
Listen, I think it's a tough day for everybody. I mean, I don't think anybody envisions walking in here in week nine and there being a coaching change. But at the same time, I think guys are going to, you know, I expect and I anticipate, and my expectation is the guys are going to circle the wagons and we're going to rally the troops. And listen, I had a lot of positive conversations today. I don't think that we're in a situation where anybody's lost hope, if you will. And so, listen, I met with the leaders of the team. You know, I think it was a very positive conversation. I expect the leaders to lead. We got to do better in a lot of areas, but in no way, shape, or form have I ever felt like we lack effort or anything like that. I think we're getting that. We got to execute better, and you know, and really, there's no excuses. It doesn't really matter who's out there. You're going to hear a lot about that, and I've heard a lot about that, and this is the NFL, and everyone's dealing with that. So we got to go out. We got to execute better in all three phases, and we got to be more accountable. Like I said, you know, locker room wide. But I felt like. I've had a lot of positive. I've touched just about every player today in some way, shape, or form, and I feel like we have a positive attitude right now. But at the same time, it's still a tough day. But this is the hand we've been dealt, and we've kind of dealt the cards ourselves. But you know, and so we got to play the hand, and we got to move forward and work through it.
How has being a special teams coach specifically helped you like build connections with all these players in the roster?
Yeah, listen, I think between the special teams coach and the strength coach are really the two people in the building. That really deal with the entire team. I've always felt like special teams coaches are well prepared to take over as head coaches because you're really dealing with I can honestly say I have a relationship with every single player on the team, quarterbacks included. I had a great meeting with Derek today and Spencer and Jake and those guys. And so, you know, I think special teams coaches, like I said, we're very well versed league-wide in the situations. We're very well-versed to being up in front of the room. We're dealing with every player. And so I'm very, very confident, very, very comfortable in that aspect.
Griswold, you still do all the same stuff on special teams, or will Phil take on some more? How's that?
Yeah, listen, I think Phil's going to take on maybe a little larger role. I'm still going to have a big hand in the special teams aspect. I think we're going to bring in another quality control, try to take some of the workload off of my hands. So I think we're bringing another guy in. I think that might get announced here the next day or two, and we'll kind of look at the rest of the staff. But I'll still have a huge hand in the special teams. I think you guys know that I was already currently doing most of the game management stuff. That'll stay the same, and Joe Woods is gonna run the defense. Obviously, Clint's already running the offense. We know that, so Joe is gonna call the defense, and he'll take over calling the game.
What's kind of your message so far?
I'm sorry.
Your message to the fans?
Listen, they should be pissed off. I'm pissed off. The fans should be pissed off. The people in New Orleans, the people of Louisiana, no one should be happy. And I think this city deserves a winner. They know what winning football looks like. And, you know, it's our job to bring that back. And my message is this. Here's what I can't promise a lot. I can promise passion. I can promise fight. And I can tell you that team's going to go out there every Sunday. And that's going to be clear that we're going to have a team that's full of passion. And a team that's full of fighters. That I can promise you. Now, the football's got to get better. The execution's got to get better. All right. But we're not going to lack those two things. We're not going to be boring to watch. That I can promise you.
What does your day look like so far? Have you hosted any conversations with
your— I'm sorry. Could you repeat that one more time?
What does your day look like so far?
Today? Today? I don't even know what time it is right now. So, just listen. I had a conversation this morning with Mickey, and since then I've kind of been running around. Had a good team meeting. I've tried to touch a bunch of offices so far. You know, I really need to sit down with each one of the heads of all the different departments. I've met with a lot of the people so far. I've met with a lot of players. Met with the leadership of the team. We broke up a little bit offense, defense, and so there's still a lot to do, it's going to be one thing at a time. Got to kind of check one box at a time and move on, but But like I said, I think I'm well prepared to do the job.
What are some of the next items, like at the top of that to-do list, like as far as priority?
Yeah, I think getting back, you know, when the, like I said, when the players come in here Wednesday, we want to have a very clear cut vision for what, you know, we're going to do on a daily basis. So I'm going to really spend a lot of time working on our daily schedule and our practice schedule and things like that, kind of just reevaluating what we've been doing there. And so that's going to kind of be what we're looking at. Naturally, going to talk with Clint, going to talk with Joe, talk about where we are offensive and defensively, you know, anything we got to, you know, change up there. And that's kind of just methodically go through each thing. So
do you kind of have like a set of ideas of what you would like to include before hearing from people, or like how do you go approaching?
In terms of what?
In terms of just like when you're reviewing changes, like these are some ideas that I already have that you can switch.
Yeah, I mean, listen, everyone's going to have their own personal touch. The best advice I've been given by guys that have been in the situation before is be yourself. I really don't know how not to be myself. There's really nothing phony about me, and kind of like I said before, what you see is what you get. So listen, there's always things. I've worked for some great people, some great head coaches. I've worked for some great organizations. There's always things that you pick up along the way that you'd like to do. You know, listen, I was here with Sean for all the years with Sean, and there were some great things we did here, but there's some things that I think I've done some other places that can work as well. And so there'll definitely be a little bit of personal touch on that. But at the same time, you know, you got to be careful. We're in week 9 of the season. We're not going to wholesale, you know, pull the rug out on some things, but at the same time, we're going to integrate some new.
Does that new need to kind of like take effect? Because, you know, I know Dennis was different than Sean, but there's just like this huge history here of all that. Like, does new need to be part of it?
Well, as I said to the team today, you know, change doesn't have to be negative and doesn't have to be positive, and it doesn't mean easier and it doesn't mean harder. It just means different. And I just think for us, you know, we all know the definition of insanity, right? Keep doing the same thing over and over again, expect a different result. So there need to be some difference. So I think that's what you'll see. Is it going to be drastic? No. We're in week, you know, there's only so many things you can do at this point of the season. The focus still needs to be on Wednesday when we walk in. It needs to be the Atlanta Falcons. That's the number one thing we got to be focused on. With that being said, I think there's a different way to get to the end result. And so that's where I think my personal touch will come in.
Darren, you said that this is not a day, so a day of mourning, but how do you balance it being a day of mourning with the team that then you got to hit the ground running?
Yeah, well, the bottom line is we got a game on Sunday. So there's only so much time you can feel sorry for yourself. You know, there's no excuses in this league. At the end of the day, no one really cares. There's that old expression that the people outside the building, you know, half of them love that you have problems, right? And the other half, I won't even say it. But we don't have time to sit around and feel sorry for ourselves or sorry for the situation. That doesn't mean it's a great day, but we're going to keep moving forward. And we need to be all on the same page with the vision. And I think when the players come back here, obviously their day off tomorrow, when they come back here on Wednesday, there'll be a clear vision on how we're going to go and attack the Atlanta Falcons.
With the trade deadline tomorrow, obviously a ton on your plate now, would you be, like, how involved would you be in any potential conversations with the front office about?
Yeah, I got to be honest with you, the trade deadline's been the last thing on my mind today, so that's not really where I'm at.
Yeah, just as a point of clarification, obviously, once teams reach a certain record, and they have young quarterbacks on the roster, they might want to look and see what they have in the future. As of now, are you operating as Derek Carr's quarterback and we're trying to win games?
The truth is, today, with everything that's been going on, we haven't had one personnel discussion. That's just, you know, I can get back to you down the road, but we really haven't gone there yet. But I got to be honest with you, there's no reason in my mind to think that Derek Carr won't be the quarterback this Sunday.
You mentioned that DA is a close friend of yours. Have you had a chance to speak to him today? And if so, what was his message?
I did speak with DA. I'm going to kind of keep that conversation between the two of us private, but I did speak with him. And, you know, like with any friend, it wasn't a goodbye. It was a, you know, we'll talk later on down the road about, you know, other things, but I'll keep the content of that conversation between him and I. But I did get a chance to talk to him. Again, you know, DA was, when I got here, obviously he was a defensive coordinator. We've worked a lot together, and I got a great deal of respect for the product he's put on the field for a lot of years. And so, like I said, that makes this part of the job that much harder, and that makes this day this much harder. That's the tough part. At the same time, this is the hand we're dealt. We got to keep moving forward.
It would be fair to say this is the job that you want to have.
Yeah, I'm worried about tomorrow. But you know, this I've been fortunate that the organization is confident enough to put me up in front here, and I'm going to put my best foot forward for sure.
I know this is tricky, but building on Mike's questions, do you feel comfortable with this country, your philosophy about when is the right time to focus on more playing time for developing players, to see how they handle it, to think long term, as opposed to?
Well, I think, listen, the bottom line is, I mean, there's no secret that our roster's full right now of developing players. So. There's a lot of guys playing on Sundays that are you know, in those younger roles. I mean, if you're alluding to the quarterback again, Derek Carr is going to be the quarterback this Sunday, as far as I'm concerned. So I'm not going down that road, and there's no reason for me to believe that, you know, that won't happen. We're going to do everything we can to beat the Atlanta Falcons this Sunday. Listen, if you guys want the Week 9 update, no, we can't break tradition. We'll have to wait till Thursday. Okay, I got to give you the Thursday update on that.
You talked to Dennis. Have you talked to Mrs. Benson?
Yeah, again, I'm gonna keep those conversations private. I'm not a Thursday guy anymore. That shows you I don't even know the schedule. I may show up as the special teams coordinator on Thursdays, and do the special teams coordinator just so I can give you the kickoff update in 9 weeks. We got to wait for the Monday night game. It's not complete.
That's right.
It's not complete. So.
At any point of knowing other things going on, so you might not have an answer, but how's Chris Olave doing?
Yeah, listen, there's obviously a great deal of concern for Chris, you know, with what happened yesterday. You know, that process of his evaluations and all those things is still ongoing. I did get a chance to speak with him today. And so, again, I'll kind of give you an update on that later in the week. But it was good to see him today, and good to see him up and around, and good to talk to him today. So,
cool. I know a lot of people call you Riz, but the rest of us have to write it. I mean, nobody beats the Riz as onesie. Nobody beats the Riz with you with twosies.
I don't know. I hear you. Well, nobody beats the Riz. That's a Jersey thing. That's where I'm from. So. No, I've seen the Riz with the 1Z and the 2Zs, and I know Riz was like the word of the year or something like that. So, you know, I got guys in the locker room were wearing Merry Rizmus shirts. You know, Bink and those guys had the Merry Rizmus shirts. I didn't even know what Riz meant, to be honest with you. I'm not a big social media guy, so all I was told was I made the word of the year last year with Riz. But yeah. Yeah, not too many people call me Darren. My mom still calls me Darren.
Do you know what Riz what? Means now?
Do I know what Riz means now?
Yeah.
I do. I do. I think.
You said you've been a part of two other interim situations that were positive.
Well, again, they're really never positive, but when I was, you know, when I was at the Miami Dolphins, when Tony Sperano was fired, Todd Bowles was the interim head coach. And then when Joe Philbin was let go, Dan Campbell was the interim head coach, you know. And so I got a chance to talk to Dan briefly this morning. I thought that was positive. Todd, those guys are playing today. But, you know, the good thing is, listen, I've worked for five current head coaches in the league between Todd and Dan and Zach Taylor, Sean Payton, Brian Daboll. Those are all guys that I've worked with or for. And so, you know, you mentioned earlier about, you know, kind of putting your own stamp on it. But I feel like I've been around a lot of great leaders. And I've seen a lot, done a lot of different ways and a lot of great ways. And so kind of try to take a collection of all those guys. You know, so I've heard from a lot of those guys today, which is pretty cool.
Thank you.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Okay, you've just heard live coverage of the press conference from the Saints' new interim coach, special teams coordinator Darren Rizzi, known as the Riz. I love that. Nobody beats the Riz. Nobody beats the Riz. Seinfeld reference there. I'm Scoot on the air. We're going to review the things that that the Riz said during the press conference, and let's get your impression. I mean, what did you think? What's your first reaction to the Saints' new interim head coach? The Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. It is a Matic Monday, and tomorrow is Election Day. We've got some election stuff to get to later, but the big breaking news today is the New Orleans Saints firing Dennis Allen. Wrote a blog about that. It's on our website also, the Scoot on the Air Facebook page, where you can comment on that. We just heard a live press conference with the Saints' new interim head coach. It's Saints special team coordinator Darren Rizzi. I was really impressed with the press conference. The Riz says everything is going to be evaluated and reevaluated. We've been doing things the same way too long. He said, I can promise you two things, passion and fight. And I think those are the two things that have been missing with the Saints under Dennis Allen. If you want to join us, the Oak and Art Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Cedric in Huntsville, Alabama. Cedric, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Scoot. Thanks for taking my call. It's been quite some time since I've called a radio station, especially about sports. Having been a radio sports talk host in New Orleans back in the 80s and 90s, I have an affinity for the people who do what you do, and, of course, those who do sports in particular, and that is talk to people on the radio. My point is that I think it's important for us to never forget that the New Orleans Saints belong to the city of New Orleans. The people of New Orleans and the Gulf Coast region is who the New Orleans Saints belong to. Now, what I'm about to say is probably not going to be very popular, because there's a, I think it's an Asian proverb that says, no man likes to have his intelligence or his good faith questioned, especially if he has doubts about it himself. And my point to that is that Rizzi, is as an interim head coach, he's got his job cut out for him. I'm not expecting a lot, because he's in a position that's almost impossible. The real problem, and before I even mention the real problem, I do want to say and give my regrets to Dennis Allen. He was placed in a position that was way too big for him. That doesn't mean he's not a good football coach, but a head coach is the general manager of the coaching staff. He coaches coaches. Coaches coach players. And as a result, the kind of leadership that the former coach gave, it was clear, was not leadership at all. And I think Rizzi is going to find the same problem, which alludes to the point behind why I called. The real issue with the Saints is leadership, executive leadership. Executive leadership starts in the general manager's office. And while I don't want to see any man fired for the job, a woman for that matter, fired for the job that they do, because the real people who suffer when a person loses their job.
I'm going to get close to a break here, Cedric, that I'm going to have to take, so I just want you to make sure you get to your point.
Here's the point. You don't have a general manager who knows football. That's the point. He's a great guy, but he doesn't know football. And when Tom Benson hired him out of the Seattle Seahawks organization, he was not in executive leadership. Okay? So the first executive job he has here is at the Saints. And my point is that nothing will change with the Saints until we bring football people in the football positions to run the organization.
All right, Cedric, I'm going to have to leave it there. I do appreciate the call. Glad you're listening in Huntsville, Alabama. We're going to continue this conversation. We'll talk about the last call, and we'll talk about your impression of the new interim head coach, Rizzi. I'm Scoot. We're coming right back with your comments on WWL. It is a Monday afternoon, and we have got a hell of a lot going on. And, you know, we talk about Mondays on this show, and, you know, there's a light shower right now in West End and some scattered showers around the area. And I can't believe that there is going to be a hurricane in the Gulf of Mexico November the 4th. For those people who want to put together a scenario that the end of the world is near, I mean, I think you got some pretty good information going for you here. It's just crazy, but the good news is it doesn't look like it's going to be severe for anybody, but still, you know, something we have to watch. And the fact that a hurricane is entering the Gulf of Mexico on November the 4th is still kind of crazy. I'm Scoot on the air. I'm really glad you're with us. So the Saints lost again, 7 in a row, and they lost to one of the worst teams in the NFL, the Carolina Panthers. They lost by 1 point, but it might as well have been 50. I wrote a blog about the firing of Coach Dennis Allen. It's something I started talking about last year. And, you know, there was some criticism of me focusing on this, and I didn't focus just on this. It was a lot, but I just had totally lost confidence in Dennis Allen. And there seemed to be some suggestion that since I hadn't played the game, I really didn't know what I was talking about. There are a lot of experts, and I see some of the ex-players who actually were part of the game, and they don't always get it right. So you can be part of the game, and I hear about predictions. I see the predictions that are not always accurate. I have a lot of respect for people who play the game. But you can also get feelings about situations, and I just had a feeling about what I was seeing as a fan in terms of how the players were reacting to head coach Dennis Allen. I thought his unusual calm at the end of games, I just thought that that was just somehow not appropriate, just very, very strange. And in the blog that I wrote, The Firing of Saints Coach Dennis Allen, which is on our website, WWL.com, it's also posted on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page where you can comment. I talk about how there were people who thought Dennis Allen was the right coach. The Saints promoted him as the right coach. That was the easy decision. They made the easy decision. Let's hope they don't do that this time. However, we just heard from special teams coordinator Darren Rizzi, and he is the new interim coach of the Saints. I really like what I heard. And we're going to talk about this afternoon. Also, tomorrow is Election Day, so we're going to be talking a lot about that. And the day after Election Day, Wednesday afternoon, we're going to be doing our show live from the grand opening of Bonvenue Bank. It's a 2000 Belchase Highway in Gretna, a great new addition to Gretna. It's the grand opening, so we're going to be at this bank on location the day after the election. So you know we're going to have a lot to talk about. If you have a chance to come by, I would love to meet you. I'm not going to have many, but I'm going to have a few of the Scoot on the Air tuned in T-shirts. And these are for people who are actually tuned into the show, not just physically, but you're emotionally tuned in. In other words, you get it. I mean, a lot of people listen, and they don't always get the show. But this is especially for those of you who are actually tuned into the show and you want a Scoot on the Air tuned-in T-shirt. I have a few of those to give away. Plus, I always like to meet you, because when I meet you, I get to put a face with the audience. And that's really cool for me. So it's a Wednesday afternoon at the grand opening of Bonvenue Bank at 2000 Belchase Highway in Gretna. So what I heard from Rizzi is that everything is going to be evaluated and reevaluated. And I really got the impression when he said that we've been doing things the same for too long, that there's been a routine with the Saints that has not been good. And, you know, sometimes you get into a routine and things get stale. Sometimes routines lead to things being stale. And you might think about this with your own business. You know, maybe things are getting stale. It's time to maybe shake things up. He said, I can promise you two things, passion and fight. And those were the two things that I thought were missing under Dennis Allen. Look, I'm sure Dennis Allen's a nice guy, and I hope the best for him. And I'm sure he's going to end up as defensive coordinator of another team. But he was not right for the Saints. Mickey Loomis should have known that, but he didn't. And he elevated, it was the easy move to make for the Saints' upper management and ownership. Let's just promote Dennis Allen. That was the easy move. I wonder how much Mickey Loomis is distracted with the Pelicans, because you know he oversees the Pelicans as well. Not every general manager for a Saints team does that. And the question is, I hope this isn't the case, but has Mickey Loomis gotten stale? Has he gotten into a routine, just a routine? All the fans are going to come, they're always going to be in the seats. As I said last hour, the depth of the disgruntled Saints fans has reached a point that I haven't seen before. I remember the bags on the heads. I never put a bag on my head, and I wouldn't, but I remember that frustration. But the frustration that Saints fans have now is running so deep that I think the Saints are in fear of having to be concerned about putting fans in the stands. Because the minimal hope that fans should, I think that fans deserve, is the idea that your team might make it to the playoffs. So again, we've got a lot to get to, but you know, this implied routine within the New Orleans Saints that Rizzi is talking about, I think it's important to focus on that and think that just you know, it was so, things were so routine that, you know, players were not really inspired. They just, this is the way we do it. They just went out and did it. I got a feeling that Rizzi is going to shake things up. But I wonder if the players can have new respect for a guy who was a special teams head coach or special teams coach, and now he's the head coach. Can they see him in this new light and have new respect for him? I hope that happens. And last night I was listening to The Point After on WWL, and Bobby Hebert and Steve Geller were talking about the other special teams coordinator who became head coach is John Harbaugh, head coach of the Baltimore Ravens. Needless to say, he's done a pretty damn good job. And Rizzi also talked about how he's PO'd, and he understands that the fans are PO'd, said the fans should be PO'd. So he says that everything's going to be reevaluated. I hope that's even Derek Carr when it comes to who's the quarterback next season. Derek Carr needs to earn that position now that Dennis Allen is gone, and there was this, I guess, deal between Dennis Allen. You got the feeling there was a deal between Dennis Allen and Derek Carr that no matter what, if Dennis Allen was head coach, Derek Carr was the starting quarterback. No, Derek Carr needs to earn that, and he needs to be the best option even into next season, or he shouldn't be the starting quarterback. All right, we're going to get to some of your calls. Ian Hoke is our senior producer with the press conference. We had a busy beginning of our show, and I didn't get a chance to say good afternoon to Ian. Ian is at the studio at the station. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you, too, as well. Wow, busy.
Man,
manic.
A lot.
A
lot going on.
Too much. It's funny, you know, people have been saying, you know, I listened to The Point After yesterday, and I was reading some of the text messages while that show was happening. Fire Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen got to go. Fire Dennis Allen. Fire him, fire him, fire him, fire him. And then when it happened this morning, I somehow managed to still be surprised. Like, I don't know. My top line reaction was like, no way. They did not. You got to be kidding me. Of course he did. Of course. I mean, it's been inevitable. Inevitable is a word that's been getting tossed around a lot today. But still, somehow, when the moment happens, I'm still caught off guard by it, I guess.
It was totally inevitable. And again, I don't want to go into the details, but there was some criticism of me talking about this last year. And so it turns out that, you know, yes, this was something that needed to happen. I'm kind of charged up about Rizzi and the way he sounds. And I'm wondering why Mickey Loomis didn't see that in Rizzi over Dennis Allen when he was trying to promote somebody from within. And what if Rizzi kicks ass for the rest of the season? Does he get the job next year? Again, you know, we don't have the answers to these questions. You want to do a couple of texts before we get to our calls?
Ukulele Rick is listening today. He says, well, Coach Rizzi certainly has charisma with two Z's. Nice work there, Rick. Yeah, the Zoomers,
I like that.
The Zoomers, the kids nowadays, when they say somebody has charisma, they say, oh, he's got Riz. They'd say
got Riz.
Harry Styles has big Riz. You know, you could say, you know, Rizzi's got the Riz. Are we calling him the Riz or just Riz?
Well, you know, I think they call him Rizzi, but I mean, I guess we could call him
Riz. The press conference, I feel like I didn't make this up. Somebody at the presser definitely just said, hey, Riz, what are you going to do about this? Whatever. I think Riz is just what they're calling him out there.
Maybe so. I love when he said, you know, something about nobody beats the Riz. He heard about that, you know. Seinfeld, nobody beats the Riz.
James and Harvey is listening. He says, what a difference 8 weeks makes. All NFL teams have injuries. This team needs a doctor, and not the physician kind, the psychological kind. They need to be injected with a sense of coherence, unity, common focus, and having fun. Like Deuce said, just look at the film. They can see the mechanics and the mistakes.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you know, the average fan can see it. And it's obvious. And so, you know, the idea that, you know, the coach is not held accountable is ridiculous. I mean, coaches are leaders, and they have to instill some sort of cohesiveness and some sort of passion in the team, and they've got to win the respect of the players, and I don't think Dennis Allen had the respect of the players.
Here's a text that says, admit it, you were not saying crap after the first 2 weeks.
No, listen, I admit it, because you know what? I mean, the team was winning.
Why would we do that?
I mean, they were winning. I didn't know why they were winning, because I still felt the same about Dennis Allen, but they were winning. So, I mean, yeah, you're right, but, you know, it fell apart at that point, so... From last year to this year, I think this was a decision that was inevitable. All right, if you want to join us, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504 260-1870. We also have to start talking about the election tomorrow. If you want to talk about the firing of Dennis Allen and your comments on the new interim head coach, Saints special teams coordinator, the Riz, if you want to talk about that, I made notes. I was impressed with a lot that he said. And, you know, I feel good about the Saints and the Falcons this coming weekend. I wasn't feeling so good after they lost yesterday and Dennis Allen was still the head coach. And also, you can comment on my blog, The Firing of Coach Allen, on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. I'll try to get to some of those comments later in the show. But we've got an election tomorrow, and we've got a lot to talk about, including Donald Trump performing fellatio with an alleged virtual microphone that was kind of invisible. I mean, dude, that's not something that is in anybody's political playbook. So what's going on? And what's the spin that somebody wants to put on that? CNN conservative commentator Scott Jennings was suggesting that, well, we don't really know what he was doing. Scott, you know what he was doing. The question is, why was he doing it? And the misinformation continues. The fake stories about voter fraud already out there planning for a contesting of the election. What if Trump wins? Should we believe that voter fraud led to Trump's victory since there's so much voter fraud allegedly already out there? Again, we've got a lot to get to. I'm Scoot on the Air, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Hang on, we're coming right back with more on WWL. All right, listen, I know there's a lot of negative stuff out there, but let's try to be positive, okay? A lot of talk about violence and riot fences are going up at the vice presidential residence in Washington, D.C., and at election centers around. There's a tightened security, and there should be tightened security. I just hope that there is no violence. And, you know, both sides are looking at the other side as being the violent side. So, you know, we'll have to see what happens. And let's be honest about where the violence even comes from. Vice presidential nominee for the Democrats, Governor Walz, Friday in a speech, he referred to Elon Musk as that guy, that gay guy. Now, look, Elon might be a little effeminate, but take it from somebody who a lot of people think is gay because of the way he looks. Elon Musk is not gay because he might look a little effeminate. Van Jones just really exploded over a comment from Scott Jennings, the Republican who's one of the commentators on CNN. Scott Jennings said, is that what he was doing? When he was referring to simulating oral sex with a microphone wasn't there, but he was simulating doing oral sex with a microphone. And I guess Scott Jennings' best defense is, because it was obvious what Donald Trump was doing. So his best defense would be, well, are we sure that's what he was doing? What else? Was he trying to discover a new way to eat a hot dog? I mean, it was pretty obvious that that's what he was doing. It was pretty disgusting. And what about all of you who are so concerned about, what am I going to tell my kids if they see a drag queen? What did you tell your kids when Donald Trump was pretending to have oral sex with a microphone? Mom, Dad, what is he doing? What did you tell them? If they asked that question, what would you tell them? I mean, to me, that was disgusting. And totally inappropriate. And you know I'm no kind of prude. Look, I'd love to know your spin on this. If you're a MAGA supporter and you've got a good spin for Donald Trump attempting to mock oral sex with a microphone, the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. All right, let's get to some of your calls. Let's go to Michael in Metairie. Michael, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, nobody beats the Riz. He's gold, Jerry.
He's gold. I love it.
Anyway, I want to congratulate President Pinocchio, whose nose grows to an abnormal length as the election approaches, for becoming number one like he always wants to be. He has surpassed Charles Fonzie as the greatest fraudster in history and the greatest liar in history. In fact, the future historians will not refer to a Ponzi scheme, but to a Trump scheme. And here's the deal. These people who vote for him, who think he's a good businessman, because they watch a TV show which has a scripted result for a business success, and they don't pay attention to the two casinos he's lost, the great university, the 300,000 U.S. deaths under him, led the world on COVID, a airline, a wine company, and many, many others. That's him. Okay, so here's the real deal on why he did that to the microphone. You ready?
Okay.
Okay. What happened was he is jealous of Kamala and everything she does. So she gets Eminem to come to one of her rallies, okay? He is fuming. And guess what? He says, I'm going to do my own Eminem and surpass it. I'm going to masturbate the microphone.
Well, okay. I mean, I get that alliteration. Michael, that's an interesting spin. But again, what Donald Trump did, I mean, for those of you who are so concerned about what you're going to tell your kids when Democrats act inappropriately or when people who are considered liberal do something, or what about drag queens, or what about gay people? What are we going to tell our children? What did you tell your kids? Or what should parents tell their kids if the kids had questions about what Donald Trump was pretending to do with the microphone? What would you tell them? Let's go to Audrey in Houma. Audrey, you're on WWL. Hello, Audrey. Okay, let's go to Kathy in La Place. Hey, Kathy, welcome to the show.
I want to talk about, you know, that guy you had on this morning around 11 o'clock and he was talking about the election?
No, ma'am.
He was talking about the elections and talking about the polls and how Kamala can't catch up and all of that. So the guy who was doing the show, he asked him about the Iowa poll that was just done, and the lady has Kamala up by 3 points. Well, he said he didn't believe it and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Well, if you go and you look at her polls over the last, say, 5 years, she's been very accurate. She's been off like 1 point, 2 points. So she is very accurate, and he could say what he want to say. But if that poll was, you know, pretty accurate, they need to be worried about some other states. And number two is, I watch the rallies because I'm working for the Democratic Party. I'm an independent. So I watch the rallies. Anything that is out of sync or any lies that are being told, I have to go and I have to correct everything on the platforms. But I saw that rally that day, and nobody can make an excuse for him. He took his hand and went up and down that mat, and then he acted. He opened his mouth like he was doing, you know.
I don't want to get too graphic with that.
It was horrible.
But, you know, it was obvious what he was doing. All right, Kathy, glad you called the show. Right now, we don't know who's going to win. Yeah, there's a poll in Iowa that really PO'd Mr. Trump. He's really pissed off about this one. But, you know, I love that the right-wing radicals dismiss the polls if they're negative, but they believe the same polls if they're positive. And right now, you go through the top pollsters, especially the ones that we see on TV, like Steve Kornacki from NBC, who's often on MSNBC, or CNN's polling guru, Harry Enten. We see these people, and right now they say it is historically tied. It's tied. Even in the swing states, it's really, really close. Kamala has a little bit of an edge. Trump has a little bit of an edge. Trump has an edge in one poll in Arizona, North Carolina, and Georgia. But Kamala Harris is beating Trump in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Nevada. And right now with the Electoral College count. And as I said last week, I think it was, there are those who are predicting that it's going to be an Electoral College landslide. That as close as these polls are, it's going to break for one candidate or the other, and it's going to be obvious who the winner is. Let's go to Charles in Baton Rouge. Hey, Charles, welcome to the show.
Well, as my alter ego is here today, I'm going to be a MAGA supporter because I really have some feeling for those folks. because it's not looking real good for the MAGA king, but you can believe the facts or you can believe Donald. And I choose to believe Donald. And what he was doing is not what you were saying, because that would be perverse. He was teaching children how to eat a lollipop, a popsicle. Remember them popsicles? You break them off two at a time. You break one off and you suck one and you give your friend one and he can suck it.
Right.
And they got to And if you suck it too hard, that stick goes down your throat and you have to go to the emergency room. Done that a few times when I was a kid.
Anyway, Charles, that's a good... That's a good spin on that. The only thing is that, you know, you don't use your hand and actually massage the popsicle itself. And that's what he appeared to be doing. Whatever it is that he was putting in his mouth, he was also kind of massaging it with his hand.
Well, you see, there you go, Scoot. You're believing what you see.
Oh, yeah.
Not what they say. And you got to be a MAGA supporter, you got to believe everything they say. That's why when my friends still go to them churches that, you know, the MAGA churches now, they understand that Trump is the new orange Jesus and he is going to save us all and lead us to the promised land. Now, where it is and how he's going to get us there, you know, the Lord will reveal to us in good time. So I appreciate your time, and I'm glad I had a chance to defend the thousands of us, millions of the 70 million people voted already, and I guarantee you 95% of them voted for Donald.
Well, you know,
you watch and see.
We'll have to wait and see. All right, Charles, I'm glad you called the show. If you have a comment you want to join us this afternoon, the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text Line is 504-260-1870. And I remind you that this is the United States of America. This is not a revolution. This is an election. Somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose. And the side that loses, if they launch any kind of violent attacks against anybody, they're going to be exposed as anti-American. They're the ones who are going to be the enemy from within. Now, again, who's that going to be? If Trump loses, is there going to be violence? If Kamala Harris loses, is there going to be violence? I hope not, but I'm concerned about the possibility. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. Tomorrow's Election Day, and if you haven't voted, I hope you plan on voting tomorrow. And I hope you vote not as a Republican, not as a Democrat. I hope you vote as an American, because we are Americans first. Things have changed in my lifetime where being an American is not as important as being a Republican or a Democrat in the minds of far too many Americans. We're defined as political party members before we're defined as Americans. And I always believed that we were Americans first, and we were Republicans and Democrats and independents and all of that next, but that's not the way it is. There has been information picked up from far-right, right-wing groups that are planning to disrupt Election Day. And there's analysis from the New York Times, credible news source, of some of these Telegram channels, and they're picking up a call to violence and to deny the results of the election. So I hope this is a bunch of BS, but I fear that it may not be. And by the way, don't define all Trump supporters as being violent, because they're not. A lot of people who are voting for Donald Trump are voting for him because they believe that's their best choice. But they're not into the MAGA movement. They're mainstream Republicans. They're moderate Democrats. And they don't like Kamala Harris. They don't like Democrat ideology. And they're voting for Donald Trump because they think that's their best choice. So let's not define all of them by the nut jobs that empathize with and actually participated in the January 6th riots. Let's go to Audrey in Houma. Audrey, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Scoot, for taking my call. On Saturday, my Democratic Executive Committee had a float that went in all the subdivisions and on the bayous. And as we went down Main Street, we passed in front. We didn't realize the Republicans had a group there. And our sheriff, Jason Bergeron, who's a Republican, had a Trump sign on his official card, and he led the parade. And I heard on Channel 8 and then saw it in the local newspaper that this was illegal because he used an official vehicle to put the Trump sign. But as our float slowed down in front, one of our members looked outside and said, would you believe they're giving us the middle finger? Some of them, not, like I said, it's not all Republicans for sure. But this was uncalled for, and we just told the committee that we don't need that sort of activity on our float. Please do not respond in any manner. And this morning, one of my tourists from France, from Paris, left, and they said, she said, I've come here 8 years ago, and she said, if the United States re-elects former President Trump, she said, I am never setting foot, and she was in her early 40s, in the United States again. And I've heard this repeatedly in my bed and breakfast from all the different countries. They cannot believe that he was allowed, because of all the felonies, to run for office. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Right,
and I don't care if you're Republican or a Democrat. Please go vote tomorrow.
Yeah, I appreciate your call. I think it's people's right to flip off a float that represents Kamala Harris. It's a freedom. It's a right. Might not be the right thing to do, but it's a freedom. It's a right. I'm not surprised that that would happen down on the bayou. There are people who are willing to express themselves that way, and that's where we are. I don't think that's that big of a deal, but. It reflects the great political divide that we have in America. I'm going to ask Ian next hour after the news if we have any good text messages that do a good job spinning what Donald Trump, a Republican, did with the microphone or pretended to do with the microphone, mocking fellatio, mocking oral sex with a microphone, with his mouth and his hands. Now, what about the children watching? What about the children at the rally? There might have been somebody who didn't know, who might have asked, what's he doing? Most of us knew. Teenagers are going to know, believe it or not. You might not want to know that. You might not want to believe that, but teenagers know. But there might have been some young kids that might not have known what he was doing. What I think we could have a little fun. Somebody suggested, well, he was just sucking a popsicle. You know, you break the popsicle in half and you take the other half and you just, you suck on that. You put that in your mouth. He was doing any other good spin on that. Anyway, that was just, to me, that was totally deplorable and unnecessary and just crazy. All right, if you want to join us, did you want to add something there, Ian? Okay, all right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talking text line 504-260-1870. Those who get all upset about drag queens, what are we going to tell our kids? And they say nothing about Donald Trump pretending to have oral sex with a microphone. It just shows how divided we are as a country. On the Scoot of the Air rock culture calendar, on this day in 1984, Prince kicked off his Purple Rain tour in Detroit. The opening act was Sheila E. That Purple Rain Tour went to the Superdome February 1st, 1985. I always thought that was 84, but it was 1985, and I was there. One of the best concerts I've ever been to. All right, so did Saturday Night Live at NBC, did they break the FCC rules? Did they do something illegal by having Kamala Harris appear in a cameo appearance at the beginning of Saturday Night Live? We'll talk about that coming up next. Also, we'll get to more of your texts coming up. I'm Scoot. It's Manic Monday on WWL. All right, it has been a very manic Monday afternoon, a lot going on. Quincy Jones passed away. Really sorry to hear that. But he was 91 years old, so he just led just an incredibly great life and a long life and just had such an impact on the music industry. Two of his biggest things that are known to the pop culture world were his involvement in the album Thriller, Michael Jackson's iconic album, and also We Are the World, bringing all those musicians together. I'm Scoot on the Air. It is Monday afternoon. The firing of head coach Dennis Allen was also big news after another embarrassing loss by the Saints. And really, the Saints were in a position where they had to make this decision. The fans put pressure on the Saints to make this decision. And I think that's the way it should be. The fans really are the boss. The fans are the ones who make the owner and everybody else rich. They're the ones that pay the salaries. and the fans had a say-so in this. They just weren't going to take it anymore. And we had the press conference. Special teams coordinator Darren Rizzi, basically known as Rizzi or the Riz, he had a press conference earlier. He is the new interim head coach, and I like a lot of what he said. And he said that everything is going to be evaluated and reevaluated. And he said, we've been doing things the same way for too long. And that sort of implies that the Saints fell into a comfortable routine that maybe led to apathetic performances on the field. He said, I can promise you two things, passion and fight. And I think those were two of the things that were missing under Dennis Allen. I hope the best for Dennis Allen. And as I mentioned in the blog that I wrote, which is on our website, WWL.com, and also on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page, where you can comment on it, I read a book years ago called The Peter Principle by Lawrence J. Peter. And this book theorizes that people rise to the level of incompetence, that you do a really great job at one level, so you get promoted. And this is particularly indicative with bureaucracies. So you earn merits, and you do a good job, and you get promoted. And then you do a good job there, and you get promoted. At some point, inevitably, most people reach a point of incompetence, where they do a good job at this level, and then they're promoted to the next level, and they don't do a good job. Dennis Allen, and I started talking about this last year, just didn't seem to have the respect of the players. He just doesn't seem like he was a head coach. But I hope that he goes on and becomes a great defensive coordinator. One of the comments on the SOTA Facebook page is, I wonder how long it's going to take for Sean Payton to hire him. And, you know, I mean, I wish him the best. I wish he would have been better as our head coach, but he may go on and become a great defensive coordinator for somebody. But I really like what I hear from Rizzi. So, you know, we'll see what happens. All right, we've got a lot to get to. There also has been a big conversation about Saturday Night Live having Kamala Harris on at the beginning of the show in a cameo appearance just days before the election. And the FCC is responding because one of the members of the FCC, Brendan Carr, who's a Republican who was appointed to the FCC by former President and candidate Donald Trump, he was criticizing, saying that this broke the law, that this was against FCC regulations. And it really wasn't. There is not this demand for equal time like there once was, but we'll get into that coming up. All right, one day left until the election, and both presidential candidates are making their final pitches to the voters, particularly in the battleground states.
Both presidential candidates closing out their campaigns in swing states. Democrat Kamala Harris made four stops in Michigan Sunday, using the opportunity to address the significant Arab American population, vowing to end the war in Gaza.
We need to end the war, and we need to get the hostages out. And as president of the United States, I will do everything in my power to achieve that end and a two-state solution.
Republican Donald Trump hit three swing states Sunday. In Pennsylvania, he disparaged the election and continued to deny the results of 2020, telling supporters he shouldn't have left the White House.
I shouldn't have left. I mean, honestly, because we did so well.
About 77 million Americans voted early, along with Vice President Harris, who says she mailed hers in. Former President Trump says he'll vote on Election Day in Florida. I'm Julie Walker.
I mean, wait a minute. That doesn't bother anybody? Should Trump have stayed in the White House? We did so well. Well, that's your subjective view. The American voters voted you out of office. You lost the election. Should Donald Trump have just stubbornly stayed in office? You know, that's kind of a fear that I have and a lot of Americans have, that when his term is over, he's not going to want to leave. I mean, he'll be dragged physically, kicking and screaming and whining and crying like a baby if they have to do that. I mean, he'll be dragged out of the White House if it gets to that point. But he thinks he should not have even left, even though he lost the election. Speaking at a campaign rally in Raleigh, North Carolina, former President Donald Trump, discussing a booster return after a space mission, said that he was careful explaining how it was grabbed, a reference to his Access Hollywood comments about grabbing women.
And those two big arms, you saw the arms, they grab that thing like you grab your beautiful baby. See, I'd fight much better. Years ago, I would have said something else, but I've learned. You have to learn.
Ha ha ha. Yeah. And Again, what did anybody tell their kids if they had questions about Donald Trump mocking oral sex with a microphone? You know, you're so concerned about what the kids see. Oh, what are we going to tell our kids? What did you tell your kids about that? At a rally in Michigan today, J.D. Vance says that the Trump-Vance ticket will put Americans first.
We have been left behind. We have been ignored. We have been neglected. We have had a generation of American leaders who have shipped American jobs overseas and brought in millions upon millions of illegal aliens. Well, in just tomorrow. Tomorrow, that is going to stop, because when we bring Donald J. Trump back to the White House, we're going to put our citizens first.
In Wisconsin, vice presidential nominee Tim Walz talked to voters about bringing down the price of food.
When fruit prices were cheaper, what were you getting for a bushel of corn? And they'd say, oh, about $4.10 a bushel. And I said, now that food prices are up, what are you getting for a bushel of corn? Oh, about $4.10. That's not where they're taking it. That's not where the money's going to their farmers. What we know is you're paying more for that. They're not getting any more for it. But the phenomenon we've seen is corporate profits are at an all-time high. And that's when we talk price gouging.
Vice President Kamala Harris made a surprise appearance on Saturday Night Live.
In the opening sketch of Saturday Night Live, Maya Rudolph as Kamala Harris talks to herself in a mirror with the real Harris talking back. Harris had a campaign stop in Charlotte, North Carolina on Saturday and was heading to Detroit when aides said she would make an unscheduled stop in New York. Harris left immediately after the segment and told reporters it was fun. When asked if former President Donald Trump had been invited to appear on SNL, senior advisor Jason Miller said, "I don't know, probably not." Trump had hosted SNL in 2015. I'm Archie Zaraletta.
Louisiana's new majority black congressional district is going before the U.S. Supreme Court.
The Supreme Court says it will take up a new redistricting case involving Louisiana's congressional map with two mostly black districts. But the court won't hear arguments until early next year, and the 2024 elections are proceeding under the challenged map. The state's Republican-dominated legislature drew a new congressional map in 2022 to account for population shifts reflected in the 2020 census. But the changes effectively maintained the status quo of five Republican-leaning majority white districts and one Democratic-leaning majority black district in a state that is about one-third black. I'm Norman Hall.
All right, let's get to some of your calls. Let's go to Mississippi. J.D., you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. How you doing, Scoot?
I'm good.
Listen, I listen to your program when I'm working over this way. I'm in Hancock County today. And a few issues. On President Trump, he's a regular man just like me and you. And he makes mistakes. Vice President Harris does likewise. And I'm voting for President Trump because I buy diesel. I have to drive a lot on my job or what have you. I support his policies a lot, but I do not criticize anybody that's voting Democrat. That's their privilege, just like it is for me to vote Republican. And I do think President Trump does say some things out of the way, and Vice President Harris. That's just, you know, but on the issues, I feel better voting for President Trump. And like the lady who spoke beforehand about them giving her the bad sign and all like that, that's something called for. Not with any party, any policy. And like I said, this is, and I've heard you state many times, this is our opinion, this is our vote, and we vote in a free country. And that's what I'm, you know, exercising. But I'm going to ask you a question. With President Trump, what is your beef against him? Do you just, I know I listen to your program, I enjoy it, but you see a lot of issues with him. What's the biggest issue you have with President Trump? And I hope I'm not wrong for asking that question.
Now, first of all, JD, I respect you, and I have said countless times through this whole process, people are voting for Donald Trump. I understand that. I'm not telling people not to vote for Donald Trump. I've never really told people not to vote for Trump. I'm simply talking about some of the things that happened because that's my job as a talk show host. What makes me nervous about Donald Trump, and I haven't voted yet, but I might vote for him because he's really good for my business. he's very good for my business, because if he's president, I'll have information every day. I mean, we find information every day. I'm never at a lack for information, but I know that it'll be guaranteed if he wins. But my biggest problem is the idea that he has a fascist mentality. His mentality fits the definition of fascism. And January 6th and what happened before the riots, some of the things that he said scare me. And then a couple of months ago, he said, if you vote for me, you'll never have to vote again. And then what he said over the weekend, I should have just stayed in office. Let me ask you this question, JD. Do you think Donald Trump should have stayed in office after he lost the election? Should he have just stayed?
Well, no, sir. I feel like that, you know, I don't agree with the last election on some parts. But if you're voted out, you know, that's the American way. You go ahead. I understand. I don't know what he meant by that. I don't know if he meant it, that he was still constituting the contesting the election or what have you. I don't understand. And I see some points that you're making. I really do, about the fascism parts. And, the biggest reason why I'm voting for Trump, if you don't mind.
Go ahead. I have to get to break, but go ahead and finish.
Yes, sir. Is the border, jobs going out of the country, and get a hand on this immigration. That's the biggest things right there. Okay. But I appreciate you letting me speak today. But go ahead.
I would invite you to call us anytime. And I respect the fact that I've talked often about that a lot of people feel like Donald Trump is their only choice. They're not MAGA people. They don't agree with everything, but they feel like he's their best choice in this election. So I understand that. Jobs have been leaving the country for a long time, but the Biden administration opened themselves up for the border to be a huge campaign issue because they didn't do a better job with the border. In fact, I would say they didn't do any job with the border, and that just totally exposed them because that is a major problem. JD, I respect your rights as an American, and I appreciate you calling our show. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. And remember, through our vote, we have the power. If you have a comment you want to join us, the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot, and when we come back, we'll talk about this controversy over Kamala Harris appearing on Saturday Night Live, and then we'll get to more of your calls on WWL. Well, I think we're going to get change. Whether Kamala Harris wins or Donald Trump wins, we're going to get change. And I think that's good news. And we'll be talking more about that after the election. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us. Really a lot going on. Marco Rubio, who at one point was a promising voice and face in the Republican Party, now at best, Marco Rubio is an afterthought. Marco Rubio is screaming, violation of the law, violation of the law. He's talking about Kamala Harris's appearance on Saturday Night Live. And Brendan Carr, who is a senior Republican on the FCC's panel, he's a Republican, and he was appointed by former President Donald Trump. He's also screaming that this was a clear and blatant effort to evade the FCC's equal time rule. Excuse me. Well, you know, all of this has been blurred since Ronald Reagan brought to an end the Fairness Doctrine. And we'll do a show on this one day after the election settles. But since 1949, up until the Reagan administration, there was a Fairness Doctrine in place where broadcast media had to give equal time to opposing views. Ronald Reagan ended that during his administration in the 80s. So this whole equal time rule is really basically a moot point. The FCC is not determined anything, if they're going to do anything at all. And there's all this screaming about Kamala Harris appearing in the opening of Saturday Night Live. But it really wasn't that big of a deal in terms of the law and equal time is concerned because, you know, Donald Trump has appeared on Saturday Night Live. So did Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and John McCain. They all appeared. So, you know, again, politicians appear and you know, they're screaming, well, this wasn't fair right before the election. Well, that doesn't matter. This, again, this fairness of equal time is not what it used to be. NBC did offer Donald Trump 90 seconds or time to do a commercial. This was at the end of Sunday's NASCAR coverage. And that's when he came on and called Harris a problem and said if she wins, she's going to cause a depression, but urged everybody to go out and vote. So they did give him equal time, but it doesn't have to be on the same level. And one day on the show, I promise we'll do this soon, we'll have a discussion on the fairness doctrine and how the Reagan administration ended it. And that led the way to conservative talk radio in America. Had Ronald Reagan not brought that to an end, you would have never have had Rush Limbaugh. You would have never have had conservative talk show hosts across the country. All right, let's get to some of your calls. Let's go to George in Baton Rouge. George, thanks for hanging on. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot. Regarding your question about what would I tell my children regarding the gesture that Donald Trump made, I actually told them the same thing that I told them when a few weeks ago Derek Carr grabbed his crotch real hard in public and pulled on it three or four times. I don't know if you're aware of that or if you saw it on public TV.
I don't remember that.
What I told him was, I told him, don't pay attention to childish gestures. Pay attention to substance. And substance, just like Derek Carr was a very successful quarterback, you know, so was Trump, a very successful president. And, you know, it's not about, oh, you're better off 4 years ago than you are now. The real question is, was the country better off 4 years ago than it is now? And I think it was. So let's get over the childish gestures, and let's just stick with its substance. And maybe, you know, maybe if you spent more time on substance than childish gestures, maybe, you know, maybe it would be a better show.
Well, George, I think your argument would be a lot more credible if Derek Carr was making a childish gesture. If a football player is grabbing his crotch, obviously there's something physical going on there. I don't know if you've ever worn a jock in your life, but, you know, there's stuff that could be going on there that is physically requiring him to pull on his crotch. Donald Trump was mocking oral sex. Your kids may know what oral sex is. And they may have seen somebody who's running for president of the United States mocking oral sex. A sex act and doing something with your crotch out of necessity, in my opinion, are two different things. And again, whether the country's better off now than it was 4 years ago, in some ways, yes, it is better off. In some ways, maybe it's not better off. But you could say that after every election. And since that's a subjective view, I'm sorry that you think the country's not in good shape now. I'm very proud of this country, and I think we're still a pretty damn good nation, and I'm still damn proud to be an American, even though it's continually bashed by Donald Trump and the MAGAites. I'm still proud of America. All right, if you're on hold, stay with us. We're going to get right back with more of your comments. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, it was on this day in, all right, when was it? On this day in 1978, Linda Ronstadt's album Living in the USA hit number one. The song, the album had a number of cover songs on it. This was one of them, Just One Look. It peaked at number 44 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart in 79. It was originally done by Doris Troy. It peaked in 1963 at number 10. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. A one-hit wonder made it to number one on this day on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, 1979. The artist was M, and the song was Pop Music with a Z. Pop Music at number one on this day in 1979. And this is when we were calling the new music that was out there new wave music. And this led us into the 80s. I'm Scoot on the Air. I want to make a comment about George from Baton Rouge. I agree with George telling his kids to focus on substance and not childish gestures. I did not see Derek Carr grabbing his crotch. And I thought it might have been a jockstrap thing or something internal like that. But apparently Derek Carr, in a touchdown celebration, and I didn't see this because, my God, there were not that many touchdown celebrations with Derek Carr. Apparently it was a childish gesture in a touchdown celebration where he was mocking Michael Jackson. So George was right. That was a childish gesture, just like Donald Trump. But again, you know, I'm speaking to the people who are so concerned about what they're going to tell their kids if their kids see a drag queen when Donald Trump is mocking oral sex with a microphone. You know, you're not concerned about what your kids see then? Let's go to Biloxi. Joe, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
And Scoot, I've been an avid listener for probably 48 years with WWL, and I think you treat people fair in what you present. But I got a question and two quick comments, and I'll hang up and hear your reply. The first question is, what did you say the name of those cookies were at International Marketplace?
All right, Parle-G. And, man, I crack them up and put them in my, you know, vanilla non-fat yogurt. And, boy, there's just, I love it. It's I'm going to do a video on that this week. But, yeah, they're really good. Yeah. And, I mean, they're $1.59. They're good for the kid. They're not that sugary.
Is it an almond or a shortbread cookie?
No,
or?
it's like a cookie cracker. It's sweet. I call it a cookie. They call it a tea time cracker in some parts of the world. But it's a cookie. It's not that sweet, not that bad for you. And, you know, it wouldn't be bad for the kids. It might be good if kids are teething. It's a Parle-G. And it's $1.59. Okay. You get this big pack of cookies.
Well, two quick comments and just my opinion. You know, you say you're not biased. I think you are, Scoot, but just let me say why. Because why bring up this with Trump and the microphone? What good is that going to do? That's just instigating to me. I don't see you defending Trump and him with what Biden said this weekend about Trump supporters. So I don't see the fairness. But that's my first comment. Second comment is, I'm a Republican. I'm 69 years old. I voted my first time for Trump because I didn't like the way the Democrats handled the Kavanaugh Supreme Court situation. I think a politician to me is somebody's brother-in-law that doesn't have a job. That's my definition of a politician. So yeah. when I saw Kevin Kavanaugh get treated the way he did, I voted for Trump for president for the second time. But make a long story short, I don't like Trump's antics. I don't like the name calling. I don't like the tweeting. I don't care for that BS. You know, put all that aside and talk about what you're going to do. And I'm going to vote for Trump because I don't see what Kamala Harris did the last 4 years. She's talking this big game about what she's going to do, but why didn't she do it in the 4 years she was in office? So and I'm going to support Kamala Harris if she wins because we don't need to divide this nation. If she wins, and she wins legitimately, and if there is ballot tampering, those people that are running those ballots and in charge of those ballots in those districts and those states, they need to be held accountable, and they need to go to jail. Scoot, I appreciate you, man. Yeah. Love you.
I agree with that. And I appreciate you, Joe. I do appreciate the call. If you're talking about Biden's comment about garbage, you know, we talked about that last week. That wasn't over the weekend. And I did discuss that last week. And Biden was wrong to do that. And we went into detail there. I am biased. I've never pretended to not be biased. I'm fair in that I let other opinions on. You know, there are conservative shows that they don't encourage. They don't always encourage opposing views. So I'm fair, but I am biased. I'm mainly biased against ignorance. I'm biased against stupidity. I'm biased against candidates who should be respectable doing stupid things like Donald Trump. And if you want to vote for Donald Trump, I understand that. I've said that countless times. Everybody should be clear about this. I understand why people are voting for Donald Trump. But that doesn't stop me from speaking the truth about what people do. Instead of asking me, why did I talk about it? You should be asking Donald Trump, why the hell did he do that? You say, I don't need to bring that up. My God, of all the things that Donald Trump could have done to mock oral sex with a microphone, with his hand in his mouth, to mock that in front of all those people and on television, the question is, why did he have to do that? So, when you ask me why did Kamala Harris, and this is not defensive Kamala Harris, this is the truth. Why didn't she do more? Because she's a vice president. What the hell did Mike Pence do? What the hell did Dan Quayle do? What the hell did any vice president do other than Dick Cheney, who I think was kind of co-president with George W. Bush? So, you know, I don't know what any of these people, you know, do as vice president, because it's really a ceremonial position. And I think there's been a grave mistake here, because I think it's been very smart Republican strategy to put everything on Kamala Harris and say, well, you had 4 years. What did you do? Why didn't you do this? Well, because she's vice president. And correct me if I'm wrong, but vice presidents don't really have much power. I mean, they don't have the power to do executive orders. They don't have the power to do a lot. It's mostly a ceremonial position. And by the way, last week I was talking about Donald Trump maybe saving his money and not spending a lot in ads. Well, he saved it up for the last weekend before the election, because I was watching football Saturday afternoon and yesterday, and man, I saw a ton of Donald Trump commercials. So he was obviously saving it for the weekend before the election. All right, tomorrow is Election Day, and we are going to have a lot to talk about tomorrow. We're going to come back to wrap up the show here on WWL. And the second guest show is coming up from the Silver Slipper Casino on the coast, on the beaches of Hancock County, with Bobby Hebert and Mike Dettillier. And they will be talking about the firing of Dennis Allen and the Saints' new head coach, Rizzi. He's the Saints' former special team coordinator, and now he is the head coach. And I like what I heard from the press conference, and I know they'll be talking about that. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. All right, tomorrow is Election Day. We will do an Election Day show. We'll talk about voting. We'll talk about who's going to win and why. You know, we had a lot of respectful callers to the show today, people who say, hey, you know what, I'm voting for Donald Trump. I understand that. I get that a lot of you are voting for Donald Trump. I've never told anybody not to vote for Donald Trump. We just simply talk about some of the things that come up during the campaign. And, you know, if a president is like mocking oral sex with a microphone, that's a reflection of who he is. And when he says, hey, you know what, maybe I should have never left office, I can't help but talk about those things. I want to thank our program director, brand manager, Diane Newman, assistant program director, brand manager, senior producer of our show, Ian Hoke, market manager, Dan Barron, news anchor, Ian Ozan, traffic with Joe Cardosi, and thank you for being part of the show. I'm Scoot on the Air. Join me on Scoot on the Air Facebook, and have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans.